Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Podcast. I'm Todd Sumney with HomeSmart.
And I'm Rich LaRue with HomeSmart, and I am super stoked about our program today for you. So sit down, buckle up, hang on.
Get ready to take some notes. You are going to learn some tactics and some ideas from one of our top agents in the entire country and one of my favorite people in the whole world. We are joined today by Jill Renee Hill. Jill is with our HomeSmart Real Estate Momentum Group out of Mentor, Ohio, or basically the entire Northern Ohio area, Cleveland metro area. And Jill is the best of the best of the best. And one thing that I love about Jill, it's going to set our stage today, is how she serves consumers and clients, and with her heart, her big heart. And number two, how she engages and how she connects with them. You know, one thing we talk about to set the stage for today, real estate's about helping customers, and that starts with more conversations, more engagement. And you caught my attention, because when I was with you at your events there in Ohio, you had this entourage following you around and a little marketing team. And then next thing I know, I see all these content posts and different bits of information, and I'm like, I started watching your marketing. And you do a phenomenal job at building your brand, but more importantly, about communicating information to customers and setting the stage with them, and then they want to work with you. And then that's how you've grown your business. And so we want to hear about that. Can you share with us today all your secrets? No secrets. Let it all.
I will share all of them. And thank you so much for the beautiful introduction. Like, I'm never leaving. Marianne and Greg, I'm not coming back to Ohio. It has been extraordinary to be here with all of you. And if you have not come to the Arizona headquarters, you've got to come here. It's just mind-blowing. So thank you very, very
much.
Well,
yeah, we're doing it today from the live headquarters here, and actually put the offer out to any of you. You want to come in, do a podcast with us? We'd love to have you come join Rich and I and do this podcast. And we do want to do a shout-out to Greg and Marianne. So, you know, Marianne Drenick, Greg Pernas, who started HomeSmart in Ohio.
Yep. So, thanks for sharing, Jill, with us. We appreciate it.
Exactly. And thank you for bringing HomeSmart to Ohio and getting HomeSmart off the ground. And man, you've grown. You're a great home for agents, and you know, you're taking the market by storm.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very highly respected in Northeast Ohio, as they should be. Amazing brokers.
Yes, they are.
And they let me do what I do. And that is a lot. That has a lot to do with the marketing piece of it.
Right.
Greg and Mary Ann are there to answer any questions as brokers, to keep all of us out of trouble.
Love it.
I like to say, but they just let me run my business and let me take care of my clients the way I like to.
Love that.
So, and that's a great place to start. So, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah, because you said they let you do what you do. What is that?
So I start a long time ago, I said, who am I? What do I bring to the table? And what makes me different from any other realtor out there? And so I started to cultivate my brand. And what I was noticing is with my clients, it was, I would go to a listing appointment as an appointment, and I left with a relationship. I left hearing about their wants, their needs, their desires, their fears. It wasn't just going there to say, this is how much I think your house is going to sell for, and this is what I offer. Relationships were being created. And I wanted other people to feel that that's what would happen if they decided to work with me. And just from there, it just started growing when I looked at people as relationships, and it's not a business transaction. We all know that.
Right. Love that.
So you've been in the business, you told me earlier, for 14 years, and you came out of nursing.
Correct.
With a detour for a few years.
That explains a lot.
It does explain a lot.
It explains a lot to me. Yeah. Yep. My mother was a nurse, and just your big heart, your caring, your attitude toward helping customers. I'm connecting the dots. I love that.
Yes, nurses make excellent realtors. Nurses and teachers,
they do.
They make excellent realtors because we're conditioned to listen. We're conditioned to have the conversation where words are spoken, but we're also looking at body language. We're looking at demeanor. We take it all in.
Love that. All right. Well, then, since we're back there 14 years ago, you were a nurse.
Yes.
You got into the business. One question that we love to ask, you know, we love to talk about your first transaction.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to hear at some point, what do you wish you would have known in year one that maybe that you wish someone would have told you? But let's start with your first transaction. Let's talk about that.
So my first transaction it was a very difficult house. It was just one of those houses that had some living space on the area that, you know, we had two walls out of the ground. So it was a walkout, lots of living space there. So it wasn't in the day when everything was appraising. It was when we really had to work hard to make sure that that house appraised.
Okay.
So I relied heavily on my manager of the brokerage that I was with at the time. And I'm so glad that I did that. I'm so glad that I did not go into the transaction saying I knew everything, because even, you know, the buyer's agent, she knew it was my first transaction. She
right.
knew it was my listing, but it was my first offer. And
right.
with the buyer's agent and with my manager, it went oh so smoothly. But it taught me that we both have our fiduciary duties,
mm-hmm.
but we also need to work together to reach that common goal. So it was a great first transaction. It wasn't easy, but it taught me a lot.
That's great. So what do you wish someone would have told you? Because our audience is mm-hmm. Obviously other real estate agents, realtors, trying to grow their business, you know, learn tactics to help them be better business people,
mm-hmm.
and also so that they can then serve more clients. So
right.
What do you wish someone would have told you year one? Does something come to mind?
What I wish someone would have told me year one is that this business is all consuming. If you eat, sleep, and breathe it. I knew that I needed to be that way because I come from a family of realtors, so I knew what it takes to be successful in this industry, but you have to groom your family to be okay with what comes with being a realtor. You have to let someone know that if let's say you're on a date and your phone's on the table, you have to let them know, I'm not being rude, but I'm expecting a call right now. You have to groom the people around you to the reality of our business.
Right.
How have you found balance with that? In other words, I mean, balance.
Can I say what I said earlier?
Say
harmony.
Say what you said earlier. Go right ahead.
Oh, this has been discussed before. Okay,
I think work-life balance is bullshit. I don't think it exists. I really don't. I think you can do the best you can.
Uh-huh.
What I figured out is you need to find ways to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking earlier, I have a sauna. That's where I just zone out and I meditate for 20 minutes a day. Hikes with the dogs. You have to figure out ways to take care of yourself. But I haven't found a balance. I haven't.
Right. Thank you for your honesty and transparency with that, because I think that's something that we do talk about, and we all try to find that, and we talk about it in different ways, and you know, we're all trying to find that zen-like waterline in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, does it really exist? And you know, I question in the real estate business if it does exist, because it is all consuming.
Well, it's not just in the real estate business. You've heard a lot of top executives in the last couple of years come out and talk about how, is there really such a thing as work-life balance from the standpoint of it's only between these hours and these hours, when you have a customer that is in town only for a Friday and a Saturday. You're in the area in Cleveland there with the Cleveland Clinic, you know, a doctor in another part of the country. He's gets a new job at the Cleveland Clinic. He's probably got 48 hours to he or she to find their right. new home there in Cleveland. And if it happens to fall on a Friday, Saturday night, you can't say.
You're canceling plans.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. If you had plans, you're canceling them to take care of that buyer who only has 48 hours to find a home.
Yeah.
But there's so many other positives that come with our career. I always like to look at the positives of everything. And the positives outweigh the stress that can come with the workload, I think.
Right, right. And that's where I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's swinging out of balance for a little bit, but you're also getting these rewards because you're helping someone in it. You know,
yeah, but as you swing but then you the swing other back way, and you need you know, to... somewhere here, you know, in the middle, we find that peace and harmony as we're swinging back out of balance the other direction, right?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
So that's when we go, you know, out of the country and we have no cell service and then we come back in. We make sure everybody's covered, you know, while we're gone. But, but work hard, play hard. You know, we've talked about it. So you're working hard. You need to bring it back. And then you set some priorities, set some boundaries.
Yes.
And then take some time to recoup and recharge the batteries. And then let's go do it again.
I joke all the time that real estate in Ohio weather is bipolar. We're high and we're low. We're high and we're low. You just got to manage it all.
Right, right. That is a great question. I've always wanted to ask from a standpoint. So weather happening, like, you know, you have a showing and a blizzard comes up. You know, I grew up back in northern Indiana, not too far from Cleveland. What do you do? How does that impact your real estate business when you have a, you know?
You make it happen.
Bad weather and it's showing.
I think mailmen and realtors, you make it happen.
Right? Sure.
I mean, of course, if the roads are treacherous and you don't want your buyer on the road, then you call and have a conversation. But more times than not, when you call and say, are you still okay going out today? They'll respond yes.
Right.
Because you know how buyers are.
Yeah.
And our inventory's low. Right. They're thinking we might be the only ones that are going to see that house today.
Right.
And we might have a shot at it. So you make it happen. You make sure you know how to drive in the snow.
Love that.
Yeah.
All right. So some details.
Yes.
Do you have a database?
So I do have a database. I actually
how do you manage it?
Just ended my top producer subscription because what I found I was using it for was just my mailing list. So
expensive mailing list.
I have now just, I'm working with an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
And that's how I keep my database going. I do a lot of postcard mailings. So that's part of my addresses for that. Every single time I do a postcard mailing and I do a farming area, I add that to my list. So I have numerous lists, lots and lots of postcards.
I have a question for both of you, since you're both so experienced, you know, in the industry. When it comes to your database,
mm-hmm.
do you keep people in your database forever? Because you never know when someone
yes.
is going to want to purchase, you know. And then, you know, I've talked to some agents who, you know, they purge.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that. I can understand having maybe where they're in different groups of where maybe some you engage with or you share information with a little more often. Mm-hmm. And then others, you know. But I don't understand the purging, and I just wondered if I'm out of whack on that.
Like, I don't necessarily purge, but you know, we're all the same. We know a house that we've sold 10 years ago. It's crazy.
Yep.
When we see a house come on the MLS, if we sold it 10 years ago, we know that we sold that house. So things like that, when those things happen, I'll go into my database and say 123 Main Street. I know I sold it 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the market. What the heck happened?
Right.
And then I'll see if my people have obviously moved on three times ago.
Right.
And
I
didn't know. I'll remove them.
I'm going to be the contrarian here.
I'm going to hear
it. Because
you
I have sorted my database in the past. I was A, B, C, and D-ing it. And, you know, the ABCs right. are ranking the clients on, or the people in the database, mm-hmm. based on their likelihood of referring me.
Interesting.
And D's are for delete. And I had delete-a-phobia. And I had a coach who was working with me on this. And, man, just hitting that delete button, it was so difficult. And at the time, I don't know, I had 700, maybe 800 people in my database. I ended up taking it down to 185. And of people who would refer me, right? And, well, 184 people that I thought would refer me. And there was one person in there that I didn't think that she would really refer me, but I wanted to keep her on the mailing list because I had sold her a house.
Right.
And I'm going to hope that that Tracy doesn't watch this podcast,
right.
because I ran into that person at a car wash. I ended up selling her another house, and we got married. That was wife number two, because I refused to hit the delete button.
All right? I love that story.
And so anyway, my point is that I was focused on one thing with the database, and that was to engage my database for referrals. And it doing that, I mean, it worked. My income over the next 2 years, well, the sales, I doubled the number of sales that I was doing, and I doubled the average sales price. So in effect, I quadrupled my sales volume.
Okay.
It was a good
Amazing.
Couple of years.
Yeah.
Because,
well, obviously,
because I was, well, and that, and that too. And so, you know, but we know how that ended. And so in any event, I mean, it does work. And so I'm not afraid to delete people from my database. Although, you know, today I've got, you know, close to, 2,500, and I haven't deleted anybody in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It can that's, work.
But I love having that discussion. I mean, I love the
it talk was for about a specific
and
reason.
Always,
and,
right.
And,
okay.
and I'm a Buffini-ite. Right. I was using Brian Buffini's system at the time.
Right.
And so we were really focused
on. You
said
that in an Irish accent.
Did I really? I do that every now and then.
It just warms my heart.
Well, when people ask me what nationality I am, I say, well, I'm a mix. With the last name LaRue, I love like a Frenchman, I drink like an Irishman, and I talk like I'm Italian because my hands are moving all the time. And if I've offended anybody out there, you know, just reach out to me personally. I'm not trying to offend anybody at all.
I'm
poking fun at myself.
Warm thoughts and thank yous to Brian Buffini, Dermot Buffini. So many
they're
of
the
our
best.
Agents
yeah.
love you, and and we appreciate all your insights over the years.
They're the best.
You know. Great stories, though. I like it. All right, so we're back. So
yes.
database. How
so,
about your database?
So database, I fail at organization. That's where I fail. So I do have a database. I invite everyone on my database to, I have client events twice a year.
Okay.
And I make sure that they're in beautiful venues and there's food, there's drinks. A lot of people will come and make it a date night. I want it to be a wonderful 2 hours for my clients. And that really seems to have made a big difference in my business. But in thinking about my database, trust me, I note on my database who came to my client event.
Right.
Because those are the people that when they take time out of their day, mm-hmm. when I may not have sold them a house within the last year, but like the last 5 years, that's really, really special to me.
Right.
So, but I do make note of who came to my client event. And I make note also of who had too many bourbons.
Well, that's... Anyway,
I can't speak to that.
Yeah, we can. But that's great. No, so
yeah.
So when, over the years, obviously you've built these deep relationships. What do you think the consumers appreciate most about you?
The fact that they understand that buying or selling a house is a life changing moment, and it's the reason behind why they're buying and selling. Right. So I think with me, they know that I'm going to understand that selling mom and dad's home because they've passed away is going to be an emotional experience. Mm-hmm. And they know that I'm going to be able to handle it well and maybe soothe the siblings mm-hmm. as well. I think they know that I care, and they also know because I put out shorts and reels and videos, they know that I'm an expert in my field. They know that I don't take real estate lightly and that I keep up on my education, that if anything comes up, I think they have faith in me that I would be able to handle it. But it's only because I've reminded them of what I do.
Right.
And social media it's free. It is the best resource we have to remind people about what we do and why we do it.
So how can people find you right now on social media?
Oh, Facebook, of course, just my name, Jill Renee Hill. I do have a business page as well, but I combine my personal page with business. And if there's anything anyone would say about me, they would say that I'm positive. Every single morning for 7 years, I have posted a positive quote. Every single morning.
Sets your mind in the right direction for the day. I love that.
Honestly, there's zero negativity mm-hmm. on my page. There isn't politics. I've had so many people say, you know, I come to your page for positivity, or I read your post, nice. And they might not like it. They don't like it or comment. But if you don't think people are reading your posts, they are. Just because they're not commenting doesn't mean that they're not reading it.
Right. So Facebook, are you doing Instagram?
Instagram. I have my Instagram. You do reels, I have a YouTube page,
okay.
which my media guys, you know, they kind of put that together for me. Thank goodness. And my website, JillRenaeHill.com.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got a couple questions for you. Mm-hmm. You've piqued my interest in a couple of areas. I want to go back to client events that you do twice a year. Mm-hmm. Do you pick and choose the time of year? Is that a strategy for you? Or are you just trying to get to a year done?
No, I just try to get to a year done. Okay. Where I have it in the wintertime is this beautiful wine bourbon bar on the square of Medina where I live.
It
looks like a Hallmark movie town. Medina, uh-huh. Ohio is amazing.
All right, put a note yes. Watch for our invite
uh-huh.
for
I'll
next
invite
year.
You to the next one.
Okay.
So, like right. I said, it looks like it's a town out of a Hallmark movie, so I do try to do that right before Christmas
time. What's
the name?
Like, is it a venue?
It's
or
called
it?
H2.
H2?
Yes. Okay. And beautiful Fiona okay. works there. All and, right. Yes, so I do okay. try to plan that right before Christmas.
Love that.
So it adds to the experience. Okay. And then my summer event, I switch that location up mm-hmm. Depending on, you know, whether it's June or July or whatnot. So we'll see where it's going to be this summer.
Awesome. Yeah, we find that in the summer here in Arizona, we need to do summertime events inside. We
not
did
in
one
Ohio.
For the agents last summer, and both Todd and I melted.
Yeah, there was yes.
So along those lines, then, so that's what you're doing to generate leads, and you have your social media that you're using. And I want to hear more about that. You're doing that to generate leads, mm-hmm. but what else are you doing for lead generation? Are you advertising? Are you buying leads?
Oh,
are you hitting agents up for referrals? What does it look like, broad spectrum?
Yes, I have a billboard, so I think that's a lead generation mm-hmm. thing. The thing with the billboard is if, you know, you can't do it for at least a year, don't do it at all. I
right.
think you have to be consistent in what you're doing. So that billboard is up, and I always have heels on and things like that. So when I bought George Clooney, my baby beagle, I said one day, I'm like, how about I dress up in a pretty dress and heels, and I have this mutt with me. So we switch up the billboard with seasons, holidays, and it's always George and I.
Okay,
so that's so kind of
Jill,
a thing.
Renee Hill and George Clooney.
So that's kind of a thing.
So this billboard, is it the same billboard, same location?
Same billboard, same location.
But just changing up the message on it. You're not moving the billboard around. How often do you change up the message?
Depending, every holiday.
Okay.
So it's a holiday billboard. And so I'm probably changing it up 5 to 6 times a year.
Okay.
And my phone number is not on it. Just Home Smart Real Estate Momentum and Jill Renee Hill, and then whatever message that I have, because truly a billboard is for the people that are driving by it every single day.
Right.
So
is it nearby the area that you sell the most homes, or is it nearby the office?
No, it's nearby the area where I sell the most homes. Okay. I actually don't work in the area that our office is located. That's on the east side, and I'm more, you know, west side.
Right.
So yeah, it's like 5 minutes from my house. So that helps with shopping.
Right.
Sure.
Because people will say, you won that billboard with the beagle. Yeah, it's always about
the
George.
Beagle board.
It's always about George.
We can have some fun with this.
I like that.
Keep going. You got great questions. I got a couple I'm saving, but keep going.
Okay. So we've got the billboard. We've got your events. We've got social media.
Postcards.
Mm-hmm. How many postcards are you sending? And how often?
Oh, my goodness. So I use Wise Pelican.
Okay.
I love Wise Pelican. The billboards or the postcards are big.
Okay.
They're beautiful. And then they'll do your mailing list as well.
Okay.
So they'll do the, you know, the area around.
Okay.
So every house that I list and every house that I sell, I do just listed, just solds, old school.
Uh-huh.
And then every time I change the billboard, I send that postcard out to my
sphere. Send a billboard postcard.
Mm-hmm. And then I have a message on the back of whatever the marketing or the market at the time, things like that. So postcards, gosh, that can range depending on my business.
And your mood, probably.
It's a lot of postcards.
Would you say that you're doing 500 a month or 1,500? Or 5,000?
No, 50,000? I would say like 500 a month.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because it's expensive. It's expensive, I think. So
do you do open houses?
I do open houses. In fact, I just got under contract my latest listing the day before it was to expire. This house was such a difficult sell because there was train tracks in the backyard. It was a luxury home. And everything I was doing, it wasn't procuring a buyer, and I had an open house. The buyer came through the open. He had an agent, but I could tell he fell in love with that house. And then I reached out to the agent. Of course, I didn't hear anything. And then 3 weeks later, the agent puts in a showing, and then he writes an offer. And I said, "Was it so and so?" And he says, "Well, yes, it is him." I said, "He came through my open house 3 weeks ago, the day the contract was signed, the day before it expired."
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
Do open houses. They work because I think the best person to sell a house is the listing agent as far as making the buyer fall in love with the home.
Right.
Who else can do that?
Right.
So open houses give you that opportunity. And I like it when they come in with a realtor, a buyer's agent, because I can put on my dog and pony show for the house, make them fall in love, and hopefully their agent brings me an offer. So
I have a very dear friend who has a second home in Santa Barbara, California, right on the water. But if you know Santa Barbara, right on the water is also a train track. And so it's their house, backyard, train track, beach. And fortunately, he loves trains and has cameras set up to catch him going both directions. And he's got the schedule down. He knows the timing and everything. And so, you know what? There is a home for everybody.
Yeah. There is. Sometimes it's a tough sell, but that's, and my sellers loved trains
there
as
you
well.
Go.
And this buyer does not, he He doesn't care about the trains.
Right.
Which is wonderful.
Right.
Okay, so you have hit a whole bunch of lead generation strategies that you do. Are there any others while we're on this topic?
There's a million of them. Your relationships with your mortgage lender, your title companies, your home warranty companies, your inspectors. Don't stop thinking that they're also relationship builders and referral builders. People want to do business with people that they like and trust. And what's the other?
No,
right? So that goes with our affiliates that we're doing business with as well.
Sure. Right.
Their aunt is going to sell a house. The owner of that, you know, home inspection company is going to have an aunt that's going to want to sell a house, and he's going to say, oh, I work with a lot of agents, but I think you should call this one. So go to those networking events. Tell your affiliates that you absolutely adore them and they help your business grow. So I think that's another lead producing.
Well, I think you're uncovering the layers of the onion, actually, that I was excited about having you on the podcast about.
I could talk all day.
No, we could. But I want to dig in a little bit deeper because in working with agents for many, many years, one big mistake I see many of them make is they try to do everything. Mm-hmm. And they try to do everything themselves. We all have different skill sets. Like, think of a football team. Some people are great linemen. You know, they can block and move and do whatever. And other people are a good quarterback, or a wide receiver is maybe really fast, but they wouldn't be a great lineman, right? Mm-hmm. So we all have our strengths. And I think no matter what we are, I don't think we can do everything. And I think there are times when a business grows to a point that you realize that and you hire people to do what you can't, or more importantly, to do it faster and more efficiently where your time could best be spent somewhere else. And so oftentimes I'll be talking with agents about social media or about their database or about their CRM, and they're just, you spent 40 hours doing what on your CRM to try to do one newsletter? And I'm like, hire that out. We all know a teenager, someone in college who grew up with it, that they could do that in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you're brimming with some thoughts on that because you have obviously experienced
this is a lot of fun because those who are watching this podcast, they're getting the same thing you're getting. For those of you listening, Jill's facial expressions and body language are, I mean, it's telling a story, right? And yes. I can't wait for you to get into it.
I stink at what you're telling, what you're saying needs to be done to grow.
Right.
I completely stink at that. I think I'm a control freak, and delegating to me is,
right.
I need to be better at this because you're right.
But you have also, I've seen you be better at it. We talked about your entourage.
With the video, yes.
They're here with you right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so like, tell everyone what you've learned. So here's the description. We were at our Growth Summit annual convention the other day, and Jill walked into the room, and behind her was two cameras, some microphones, two people working those cameras and microphones, and they were doing different things at the same time, capturing different things. And then I know they help you post, engage, share information, and so I love that execution, mm-hmm. meaning you don't have to do it yourself, but you're ensuring as the CEO, as the entrepreneur of your business, that it is getting done so that you can help more buyers and sellers. So can you unpack it? If somebody wants to know, how do they do what you're doing? And how do you, some people would say, well, you can't afford that. But yet, for you, you realize that's what your business needed, and it has helped you reach more consumers.
Yes, because, you know, videos tell a story. And it was worth it to me to focus my investment into the media side of it.
Okay.
And it all started with listing videos. That's how it all started 8 years ago.
Okay.
I had a very good friend that is a career photographer, and he also did great video, and it was him that said, Jill, why don't we do some listing videos for your listings that no one else is doing? Because 8 years ago, no one was right. doing that. And at that time, it started with me talking inside the house, walking around the house, walking into the master bathroom.
But you weren't trying to do it selfie style. You hired someone to film you.
No, because he also taught me something else, and it was, don't you dare put anything out into the world that you are not proud of. Even if you make a grammar mistake on a postcard, don't send it out. Don't think that they're not going to see it, because they are.
Right.
So I wanted everything to be as professional as I possibly could. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, those listing videos started my business, because people would say, I don't have to pay for you to do that listing video on my house that you did for so-and-so. Well, no, that's something that that's a service that I offer.
So let's unpack that. So you walked through the home. You were the, in a mm-hmm. sense, on-air talent,
mm-hmm.
but you were paying someone to film it.
Mm-hmm.
Did they edit it for you?
They edited it. They would do drone. It was a shame that I could not put it into the MLS, because of course it's branded, so right. you can't do that. But just boosting it on social media,
right?
It was a wonderful thing. And you know what else is a wonderful thing about it? We all can do it if we do listing videos or any type of video for the home, is when an agent would call me and say, I have a buyer that's interested, and start asking me questions about the home, I would say, I'm going to send you a video that you can share with them. It's not that I want to take their client or whatever. It's that I want them to see the house the way I see the house and the Absolutely. Way I present the house. So yes. it's kind of like that open house opportunity.
Yep.
But I'm sending the video. And
So let's drill down a little bit more on that, because 8 years ago when you did your first video, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and suggest that maybe you were a bundle of nerves. Maybe you didn't, you know, really feel mm-hmm. that great with it.
Right.
Right.
Because.
What I get pushback from agents all the time, and it comes down to fear. Let's call it mm-hmm. what it is. And I will call it that, because I have that same fear on video.
No, you don't.
I do. I get
afraid right now.
Everybody else around me gets afraid, because they never know what I'm going to say.
No, but it's true. We still do. But, yeah.
No, I mean, and for meetings, you know, people say, oh, you get up and you talk, and you never have, you know, you've never met an audience that you don't love. Well, that might be true, but there's always butterflies flying in formation. Mm-hmm. But my point is mm-hmm. that when you first started, were you as good on video as you are today?
Absolutely not. I was awkward.
And how'd you get through it?
By realizing that people just wanted to see authenticity.
Thank
you. For the people who say, I'm not going to do videos because I need to lose 50 pounds, or I'm going to wait to lose 50 pounds to do the video. Do the damn video. Take the headshot. Just do your business
now
and don't wait until the perfect time, because people just care about whether you're real and whether or not you're honest about what you're selling. I have seen the most beautiful, perfect people present a home, and the way they present it,
and it's atrocious.
100%. Because guess what? Their heart wasn't in it.
Right.
So if your heart's in it, that's what's going to connect with the consumer, because mm-hmm. that's what they want.
Right. Right. But also, you learn by doing. We learn by our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And
we learn by taking that leap
and
jumping off the cliff, mm-hmm. right. hoping and praying that the video net will appear
right.
for us, right?
Right?
And we just have to do it.
So did your team have access to your social media? Did you give them your usernames and passwords and have them post everything for you? Or did they get the finished product, give it to you, and then you post it?
So they give me the finished product, and then I post it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And so you've
Remember,
graduated.
Remember, I'm a control freak.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. So you've graduated over the years now from listing videos to...
So now we do reels. So just the little short minute and a half reels. And I do informative reels that could help the buyer or the seller and other realtors. Sometimes I'll do a realtor reel. And then I do mindset reels as well, talking about positive mindset and things like that. So I kind of do a little bit of everything. We were doing, like, during COVID, I was sitting down with the owner of Liberty Home Mortgage. We were doing videos during COVID about what was transpiring at the time. There's just different things that you say, break out the camera, we're doing a video about this.
Yeah.
And I was doing something, and I did it for a year and 4 months. It was called 60 Seconds Around the World of Positivity. And I would... go into the media room, green screen behind me, and talk about positive stories that are happening from around the world in 60 seconds.
I love this.
And then behind me on the green screen would be the pictures or the video or whatever. And the reason why I'm still not doing it is because it got a lot of traction on social media, but not like a crazy amount, right? But since I've stopped doing that, you won't believe how many people have come up to me and said, I wish you'd still do 60 seconds around the
That's
world
like
of positivity.
The Good News Network.
Yes. I would get a lot of my stories right. from that.
I love that.
And the graphic designers did the cute look. Like, it was so much fun to do. So I actually might get back to doing that, but that was also part of it. But you know what all this takes is time.
Yeah. That's all we have, though.
It's a lot of work. But if you're consistent at doing something like that, it does have an impact.
So talk to the agent right now, though, who is struggling to do everything themselves, okay? And the fact that, like, even right now today, you brought two professionals with you that today they're filming this. They're going to create some reels. They're going to, create content so you can reach more consumers, have more conversations. The more conversations you have, the more people you help. Mm-hmm. So how do you help that agent hire it out? How do they start? How did you start? Because I knew it grew into where it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But today, would you stop? Would you stop doing that?
No way. No. Mm-mm.
So therefore, there's
no. I would take out a loan to pay marketing before I would stop doing it. That's how important I think it is. And if you were a newer agent and you wanted to get into this, I would price the professionals, see how much their going rate is for the listing videos and content videos. But you know where I'd go? I would go to video schools. Vocational schools that are teaching
interesting.
This.
Sure. Yeah.
Because a lot of my marketing people came from schools like that, and they're coming out of school. And if you can grab someone at the very beginning of this career, the two of you can work together and become an amazing team. Like my video guys, they know not to shoot me from a certain angle, or they understand that I don't like being shot in another angle if I'm walking up the steps or something like that. Things that a woman knows. And then, we've learned these. So we're a remarkable team now. So if you can find someone young and you can start tweaking things just between the two of you, it's going to be amazing.
Right.
One of the things that Todd and I advocate all the time is for agents just getting started to go ahead and just get BombBomb and get a selfie stick. If you need to or whatever, get a long arm and start shooting yourself. Do a video a day. And whether you release it or not, just get used to being on video.
Yes.
And when you start, they'll probably suck, mm-hmm. but they get better.
Mm-hmm. And be yourself.
Right. You know, critical. You have to be yourself.
You know, do different locations. You know, different outfits, different events. Yeah, just be yourself.
Right.
But definitely do it.
Different outfits. We ought to try that sometime. instead of wearing
black, white, red,
black suits, and either black and white shirt. Yeah, we show up looking like twins most of the time. And again today.
Uh-huh. Well, at least you don't have to stand in front of a closet like I do and say, "What do I wear today?" You already perfect.
Oh, another black dress. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough of them.
So obviously, you can't. You choose not to live without this team, right? Mm-hmm. What are some other things that you couldn't fathom not doing in your business, like stopping? Which to me, what I'm trying to get to is these are things then that other agents should be doing if they're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you would panic at the thought of this not happening on a consistent basis, you know, or...
Marketing would be number one, and I think number two would be actually connecting with people. I can't emphasize that enough, to actually connect with people. It's not just liking someone's post on social media, it's commenting on it. You know, their daughter's fifth birthday. Remember how right. what a big deal that was?
Right.
Say something about how beautiful she looked in her dresses, because we have tears in our eyes thinking, oh, right. God, I remember that.
Right.
You know, actually connecting with people. If you told me that I had to stay in my house and do my business and I wasn't allowed out and I wasn't allowed to... I mean, you go to your local bistro and, you know, your clients come in. Buy them their first drink. Like, make those connections. And continue them and care, really care about people.
Yes, mm-hmm. Love that.
So is that something that you have learned in life? Because some people just, they struggle to connect. And so where'd you learn that? Or is it just something just by paying attention? I'm struggling for the words here because I feel like I know the answer, but I want you to answer.
Well, I think the nursing background, you know, helped
there
with that.
Sure.
But we don't have a lot of time. But in 2013, I had a brain bleed, and I probably shouldn't be here today. So the recovery, the surgery, all of that. Talk about a life-altering event. It was a couple months after my divorce. And my kids were young. So that I came out of that honestly with a different perspective
sure.
about relationships and people.
And life in general.
It's
precious.
And how blessed that I was in an industry and a profession where I could pay my bills and make a living by helping people do something that's emotional. So
what a beautiful career, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's...
All right. So
I get it. That's
two more
that's where it's coming
questions.
From.
One, if your clients were to describe you to someone they wanted to refer you to, what are four or five words that you would hope that they would use in their description? Or how would you... In your best dream, mm-hmm. how would you hear them describe you mm-hmm. behind your back?
Kind, compassionate, intelligent, and fiercely loyal to their needs.
Nice.
Because there always has to be that element of
getting
the job done in the best way possible for their needs.
This is emotional and powerful for me right now with what's going on in the media here where we're recording today, this time of year right now. There are, you know, I even had a family member who called me about some things that hit in the headlines the other day, and they were just talking about, you know, an experience they had with a real estate agent, a real estate professional that was less than positive. Mm-hmm. And that pains me when I hear those, you know, those stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, love the counteracting of, you know, what we do how just hearing that, I guess, about reminding consumers about how committed we are to helping them.
They're so committed. I mean, we're the people that they call when they need a plumber or they're deciding to renovate that bathroom after 2 years of living in the home. We are such a resource for them.
Right.
Yep.
And what a blessing that we're the person that they call. How did we get so lucky?
Right.
We are that person if we have cultivated that relationship. I'm going to add another word to the list. Mm-hmm. And now I've only known you for about 4 hours, right? But it's one of our favorite words that we use here, and that's authentic. Mm-hmm. You are authentic. We get to know who you are. Everybody gets to know who you are right away because you put yourself out there. And that's a testament to who you are, but it's a testament to the world. Here, you know, you're showing up and showing up with your all. So
we all have to show up every single day, no matter what's going
well,
on.
Well, we need to.
We all have to show up. And
right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I guess I didn't explain that very well when I was talking about that experience. You know, I guess I feel like right now there's some consumers and I wanted to hear, maybe I'll just ask you directly, is speak to that consumer that is wanting to buy and sell a home. Like, what should they be looking for in a real estate professional that helps them?
They should be looking for someone who is truly listening to what they want, their needs, their time frames. And we there's a delicate balance of us telling our clients what they need to know, right? But also letting them make the decision that's best for them. It's walking into a basement and seeing a basement wall that looks pretty darn scary. Of course, we're going to point it out and we're going to give them options. But at the end of the day, it is their decision. Sure. So we're always walking that fine line of making them feel confident in making the decisions they need to make. But we still need to give them the information that they need. So that and experience. I do think experience matters. If it's a new agent, I would hope that they ask the agent, do you have a mentor? Because we all had to start sometime. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they respond, yes, I have a mentor. It's this person. And an agent that doesn't put other agents down. I think that's important too. Mm. If you hear a name or if a name's put out there, you want an agent that is neutral and positive about our profession that doesn't put other agents down.
Our mamas all told us, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Right, right, right. So what attracted you to HomeSmart and what do you love about your brokerage? You know, for other agents and what should they make sure they're taking advantage of within our...
Yes. So 14 years, I've been with three brokerages. And the first one was a family-owned large brokerage in my area. Their brand was very well known. Mm-hmm. And that's how business was done, is under their brand. And that's the reason why I left, is because I realized people were doing agents with me, or they wanted to do business with me, not my brokerage. Second brokerage, small family-owned brokerage in my town, absolutely love them, but my business was too big geographically for that small hometown brokerage. So then my wonderful friend said, you've got to go to HomeSmart. You've got to go to HomeSmart. So I said, HomeSmart? What's HomeSmart? I want to go to a place that's like the Avenue or the agency.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I want a sexy name. It's a HomeSmart. I had no idea how sexy HomeSmart was. I had no idea. The technology, the tools, the training, the reach. I mean, the fact that we're in so many states and there's so many agents, it was the first time that I'd ever considered being attached to a national brokerage. And that has just catapulted me. And Mary Andronic and Greg Pernas are amazing at our helm. They have experience, number one. They've both been in the trenches selling houses. So I know that what they say is coming from a place of we've been there, we've done that. Mm-hmm. They're no nonsense. They tell you what you need to know and move on. And they treat every agent the same, whether you're the number one agent in the company or whether you are the newest agent in the company. There isn't anyone that's getting any special treatment. And I love that as well. So it has just been the perfect home, and I've met so many amazing people. Like I never thought that I would like call, hey, I'm coming to headquarters. You wanna hang out? I never thought I'd be able to do that. And here I am, and it's just...
Yeah, we're so happy you're here.
HomeSmart is the... It's just the bomb.
So there you go, an open invitation to all of you HomeSmart agents that are listening anytime you're in the Phoenix area, or if you want to do what Jill did and fly on out.
Have a nice little resort for you to stay in.
See us. And, we'll give you a tour, and we'll connect with you in the same way we're doing this today. So,
it's been amazing.
Okay, Growth Summit this year was in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. You are part of our top 250 agents, meaning that you've helped more customers buy and sell in the last year. You are one of the top 250 that helped more consumers do that. So the top 250 agents nationwide. You had a little private dinner with some of the other top 250 agents. So the best of the best all sitting around a table, having dinner, sharing ideas, and it was put together by you all. Mm-hmm. The company had nothing to do with this. What's one of the golden nuggets that you heard there at that dinner that is an example of how sharing ideas and knowledge with each other makes us better at our profession?
There was a lot of nuggets going around at that table. And the reason why I put that dinner together is I connected with these other agents at the previous convention. Mm-hmm. And when I'm convention, it's all business. I mean, of course it's fun, but how can I make the best use of my time? Right. So putting the dinner together was wonderful because I just wanted to spend more time with them. And so we had nuggets all night long. It was nothing but real estate. But what I found that was common at that table, no matter which part of the country we were from, is we all care about our clients more than ourselves. Mm. And I think that's why the success was sitting at that table, because our conversations were not negative. They were about the people that we've helped, how we've helped them, the things that we sacrifice. It was incredible. And can't wait to see them again.
Wow.
And more.
We should do a podcast someday with some of those from the dinner table all on Zoom and just do a
Would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be a blast.
That would be. And then there was me sitting at the table going, I cannot believe we're at Spago sitting right by the Bellagio fountains. I was just amazed. It was just all great. We didn't want the night to end.
No, that's all. But how powerful was that, what you just said?
It was
said?
Wonderful.
And that's why, again, love our profession, love what we do, and that such a testament to our profession and what we do. So thank you for that. Thank
Absolutely.
You for cultivating that. Thank you for taking the initiative with the other agents and setting that up.
I was just putting a text. I was making my dinner reservations in advance.
I love that.
Putting out the text.
All right. So we're nearing the end here.
I have two questions totally
go
out in the weeds that I want to ask you. We've never asked these questions of anybody who's been one of our podcasts before. But it's questions that one of my favorite podcasts, they ask these questions, and I just want to ask them of you. So the first one is, if you were a superhero, who would you be?
Wonder Woman, of course.
Oh, there we go.
I want that outfit.
I love it. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Now, Wonder Woman, she had the bracelets,
she had
right?
She had the bracelets.
Yeah, that can deflect like anything.
Yeah, she could run really fast.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Cool. Okay, second question. A book or a podcast that you have read, listened to, watched, that has had impact recently, like within the last year or so. It doesn't have to be 2024 because we're in March right now. And so
called me on the carpet for that one. I think the I forget the title of this book, but I loved everything in it. The Eat the Frog.
That one. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, one bite at a time.
Yes.
It's
The Frog Book.
The Frog Book.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. We'll have the answer to that in less than 5 minutes.
And you stumped me.
Well, you know what? And it's not fair. I did sandbag you a little bit on that because I didn't tell you that I was going to ask you that ahead of time. Okay. You know, which is pretty much the way this podcast goes because it is.
You're forgiven.
It's just a conversation, yep. Right? And so that's what we do.
You are forgiven. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here. And last golden nuggets that you want to share, any final thoughts, I guess, with the audience, knowing that it is made up of real estate agents just like you who are out there, not in their offices every day. They're out there helping people buy and sell homes. Any final thoughts
to
share with them?
Look at yourself, figure out what makes you unique. And brand yourself to that. And it could be a million things. What do you like about yourself? Look in the mirror. What do you like about yourself? Start branding yourself that way. And the second thing is what I always say, leave people better than you found them. Because if you do that every single day, things are just going to happen really wonderful in your life. And if you work hard, it's all going to come together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Very powerful. You just reminded me, though, of what we had lunch right before the podcast. And Rich, I know this will resonate with you, too, because of our dear friend, John Foltz. But surrounding yourself with the right kind of people. And we were talking about what? About if you golf with a good golfer.
Your golf game's better.
You're a better golfer that
yes,
day.
Yes.
And so choosing who you surround yourself with and, you know, the brokerage that you're with. Mm-hmm. And if you surround yourself with better realtors, you'll be a better realtor.
Yeah.
That's a tribute to John Foltz, one of our great broker friends here in Arizona. John, shout out to you. You're amazing. We were talking about how that's impacted you as well.
It has. Yeah. And my golf game.
There we go.
That too. Well, hey, thank you all for joining us today on the Real Estate Podcast. We hope that you took away some tactics that you can implement in your business right now, today, and also just some insights that can help you grow over the years. So thank you to Jill Renee Hill from Mentor Ohio. Please find her on social media. Connect with her, have those conversations, build that relationship with her. Come to Growth Summit every year, and you can connect with Jill there
so
as well.
So much fun.
And with all of us as well. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Rich.
Pleasure.
Yep. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Jill. This has been fun.
Yep.
Can we talk about Growth Summit 2025?
Sure.
Can we tell where it is? No, we can't tell them where it is.
It hasn't been signed yet, but...
Okay, but it is our 25th anniversary. And so it's going to be an epic party. And we talk about doing epic things. That is going to be one epic thing that's going to happen in 2025. So put it on your calendar. Block out the entire month of April. We know that it's in April, a little bit later than this year. And so it's going to be fun. Come join us.
Yep. Come join us. All right. Thank you all. This has been a wonderful episode of the Real Estate Podcast. We hope to see you back on future episodes. Give us a big like down below. If you liked this podcast, share it with your fellow realtors and your fellow friends and give us some feedback as well with some of the links down below as well. And let us know what you would like to hear in future episodes. So thank you for joining us. I'm Todd Sumney.
I'm Rich LaRue, and we'll see you next time.
Like what you're hearing on The Real Estate? Tell your friends about us. Tell them to check out all of our episodes on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. And don't forget to send any topics you want us to tackle to therealestate@homesmart.com.